You know, tonight Pastor's not going to try to preach to you. I'm just going to talk to you. That's one of the things that a pastor should do. He should talk to his people, try to help them in different areas of life. And it seems that it's a good time to speak on this subject of financial crisis and finances. It seems like that it's really prominent. I hear it all the time. In fact, Bill says it's steady with people needing care, help at the week here. Actually been about a 10% increase, I think he said. And, you know, as you listen to different people talk, as you see some things on the internet and also things on Facebook, people speaking about, it seems like people are having struggles with finances. Am I off course or not? You're awful quiet on me. We all face financial difficulties at some time or another. I don't care who you are, what your name is, you face financial difficulties. The one statistic, and I don't know whether this is true or not, I didn't bother to check it, I just read it. It said that most families are just one financial emergency away from a financial crisis. You know, I had some statistics here, and they're probably 4 or 5 years old by now, but at this time when I got this, 50% of Americans have less than 1 month of their income saved up for a rainy day or emergencies. Now, I've got that from Dave Ramsey, and that's probably not the case now, but it's probably worse than that now. And also, he said that it shows that only 58% of Americans are saving for retirement. And that means that 42% aren't. I have watched this happen with ministers. They did said not saving, putting anything up. You know, it says, back when he was writing this, it says the average American owes $171,000 on their home, and their average mortgage is over $1,000 a month. I'm sure that's not correct anymore, because I know, I just checking some apartment rents around here in Tulsa, and they are extremely high. And a lot of times people are not prepared for a financial emergency because they don't handle their finances properly, or they just don't have the wisdom to, or the knowledge. You know, in Ecclesiastes 8:6 in the NLT, it says, "For there is a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble." That's NLT. The Voice says, "Yes, there's a time and a way to deal with every situation, even when a person's troubles are on the rise." Now, financial challenges come to us all. But if you'll trust God, He can show you how to get out of those difficulties. But you're going to have to use both natural and spiritual things to do it. You know, it seems like there's some people that are all on the natural side, and then there's some people that's all on the spiritual side. God will take care of everything, and they just continue to spend and so forth and so on. You know, you need to have some knowledge and some wisdom and believe God at the same time. You know, in Matthew 6, up before verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you." The NLT says, "Seek first the kingdom above all, God above all else, live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need." Now, when you read that, up above that, it was talking about don't be in fear, don't be in worry about clothes and food and so forth. So it said not to be concerned about it, but it said be more concerned about living right and following God than these things. He did say don't worry about it, because you see, worry and fear are two different things from being concerned. Worry and fear will attack your mind and cause you not to even think productively. It will limit your creativity of how you can get out of this situation. So we resist fear and focus on God helping us. You know, when fear raises its head with me with any situation, I immediately quote 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. And then I also quote Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Now, first of all, we need to realize that we have to live within our means. If you don't, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Proverbs 24:3-4 in the Living Bible says, any enterprise is built by wise planning and becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. You need to know exactly what your income is, but you also need to know what your basic expenses are. If you have to, write them down on a paper. That's what they tell you. If you take a financial management class, they'll tell you, write down what you have to pay, or your disbursements, they call it, and they write down your income. And when they don't compare, you're in trouble. You're going to have to cut somewhere. You know, it makes good financial planning when you know the facts. You may have to tell your family or tell yourself, okay, there's a temporary free zone. We're not spending money on anything that's not essential. I've been there with my dad back in the day when he said, this is it. We'll go to the grocery store, we're going to buy food, and we're going to eat that food. And when that's gone, we got to believe God for some more. But he would do that. You see, you may have to quit eating out. Actually, we spend a lot of extra money not eating at home. And they say that Tulsa is one of the most eating out cities that in America. I'm serious. I read that a few years ago. I read that in the paper. It said, didn't we read that, huh? That Tulsa was. And if you just drive around town, you can see it, man. We got a bunch of restaurants, okay? But you know, you may have to. You know, you can go to the store and buy a pound of coffee that'll last you a long time. You can buy a whole pound of coffee almost for what you spend for one cup at Starbucks. Yeah, but I don't like it. Hey, if you need to save some money, you do whatever you got to do. Okay? You know, shop around. Get the best price for everything. That lady right there, she gets on that computer and she shops till she gets a good price. In fact, she said, we got to hurry home the other day because she said there's a sale on and it's only going to last till a certain time. And she had to go home and get on the computer to buy something that she needed.
Walmart has their turkeys on for 50 cents a pound.
Oh, yeah. She come home last night saying, last night, I don't know how long it's going to last, but Walmart had turkey on sale for 50 cents a pound. 59 cents a pound. 50 cents a pound. You know, well, She bought a turkey for $7, and it, how many? Huh? 15-pound turkey for $7. Man, that's a good price. And it's in the freezer. But you have to look for those. You know, we sort of grew up that way, and we always look for that. Cut all extra spending that is absolutely necessary to get yourself out of a financial crunch. Find ways of making extra money. Maybe you can sell something, or maybe you can pick up extra hours. You know, when Craig was born, I was associate pastor, and we didn't have no insurance or nothing, and I wasn't making but $50 a week, and I knew we had to have some money to pay hospital bill. And so a man by the name of Rich, what was his first name? He's a brother. I forgot. Anyway, he was the manager of a big new housing project that was going in called New World. And he caught me one day at church, and he said, Ken, do you know anybody want to pick up some extra money? He says, the city will only let us put these signs out after midnight on Friday night, and they've got to be picked up by 5 o'clock on Monday morning. And it pays $25 a week. I said, here I am. And he gave me all these signs, and I had all these routes that I had to go on, and I'd put these signs out, and they had the arrows pointing them to the New World, and then if there was a turn, there was a turn there, and I had to have all these. And Lynette would drive the car, and I'm out. We'd stack them in the trunk, and sometimes I have to go back and get more because I couldn't carry them all in the trunk. I finally was able to borrow my brother-in-law's, her sister's husband, Billy. I was able to borrow his pick. He had a pickup, and I don't know where I got this at, or how I got it, but I got this rack, and these signs, you know, they had they were square like this, and they had a pole on them with a step where I could push them in the ground, and so I could push them in this rack, and they would all stack on this rack. I don't even know where I got it or how I got it. I can't even remember, but that was in '69, and I mean, it would rain or shine, cold or hot. It didn't. He was born in July, so we started putting them out way back in the first part of spring. And sometimes it was cold, but raining, man, I'd be soaking wet sometimes by the time I finished putting them signs out, because there wasn't no use trying to put a raincoat on it. It wouldn't do no good because your wind's blowing and everything else. And anyway, the sign get hung on it and rip it in the first place. I did one that way, and I decided, hey, just get wet. But when it come time to pay the hospital, I walked down there and plucked it down because I made that $25 extra every week, and we didn't touch it. We put it away. Now, see, you think pastor never had to do something like that. Hey, Lynette has been to the point and said, and they've been back in the early years when Rhema first started. For 3 years, we never ate out at a restaurant anywhere for 3 years. But, see, you do what you have to do and then believe God on the other side. Okay? See, stay focused on the priorities. Stay focused on the priority. Of course, God first before everything else. And make sure that you continue to give what you can. Pay your tithes and give what you can. Now, I'm disgusted because I was watching it on television just the other night. This guy's on there and he's telling these people, I watched it. He said, now, if you'll give this, God will reward you. If you don't have it, go borrow it. I got so disgusted, I wanted to throw something at the TV, and I said, no, I'm not going to. I just turned it off. But because There's people out there that are hurting, and he's saying that's just because you're going to give to him is no sign you're going to get the extra money. Now, if you go borrow it, I've never told them. In fact, I told people not to borrow money. Now, you give what you can. I mean, Lynette and I have been to a point that all we could do is pay our tithes, but we would pay our tithes. There was one time that she does the finances in the house, and she said, we have more disbursements this month than we've got bills. I mean, then we got income, more disbursements than we got income. And she told me, I was first tempted, okay, we'll catch up next month. But then she said, no. And she wrote that tithing check. And we have never not paid our tithes. Never. We've always paid them. I don't care what the finances was. If I had to cut something else, I'm going to pay tithes. Because in the long run, you're going to come out on top. See, Proverbs says, you know, think things through and plan. Anybody getting anything out of this? I told you I wasn't going to try to preach to you. I was going to talk to you about life. That's what a pastor's supposed to do. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. That's in New King James. NLT says it like this. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. The voice says, well thought out plans will work to your advantage, but hasty actions will cost you dearly. You know, when you're faced with a crisis sometimes financially, if you're under the pressure of it, wait, don't make a hasty decision. Take time to seek God and stay in faith. Don't let your emotions take over. Sometimes you might need to wait till the next day. And seek out wise counsel about something. Take time to evaluate all the options. Just because somebody says this is what you need to do is no sign that's what you need to do. Okay? Like I said a while ago, find ways to give when you can, is what you can give. That's why I say here all the time for our building project, you notice I haven't put any pressure on anybody to give. I said, if everybody will just give a little extra, what they can each week, and look what's happened. Do you realize if you can just save a little bit each week, after a while, it'll mount up to something. Then you can buy something that you want to buy. You know, the laws of sowing or reaping in the Word of God are true. If you sow hard work, you're going to reap the benefits of it. If you sow money to God, like he said, giving of your tithes and your offerings, he said you owe him the tithes. The offering is an extra gift that you give. You owe the tithe. Now, I realize there are a lot of people talking opposite of that, and it's crazy. Number one, they don't know what they're talking about. And somebody said, well, you've been off. I'll tell you, I'm awful strong about it because they're leading people down the wrong path. And I'm very strong about it, and I'm not going to take it back, and I'm not afraid of any of them. If they want to come after me, here I am, right here. Hello. Number one, some of these people that are talking some of this they've never been to Bible school, and they've never even studied some of the stuff that they're talking about from them. And they talk about paying tithes. Well, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek before there ever was a law, before there ever was anything mentioned of tithes. And then when you check and begin to check on it, in types and shadows, Melchizedek was a type of God. Just like Egypt was a type of sin. See, you have to study some of this to know some stuff. But So, hey, give to God what you can, especially the tithe, and then give extra when you can. You know, the scriptures of sowing and reaping are true. They will operate. But you don't sow to get. You sow because you love God, and because you sow, God returns to you. Some people said they're giving to get. No. And you can't just do what somebody tells you to do or what you see somebody else do. Years and years ago, there was a young man in school, and he had a car, and there was a family in Rhema. This is second year it started, I think. And they were walking. And this young man came to me and said, "The Lord's dealing with me. I believe the Lord's dealing with me to give my car away. What do you think?" I said, "I can't tell you that." I said, "You have to discern whether it's just you feeling sorry for them or whether you really believe it's God." Well, he came back to me a couple of weeks later and said, "I'm praying about it. Every time I start praying about it, it comes to me, and I'm going to do it." I said, "Well, that's you." He did. He gave them his car. And he didn't live very far from the school, and he was walking. But he went home for Thanksgiving, and he come back driving a brand-new car. And he gave the testimony in school how that Lord had dealt with him, and he gave that car away. And now God, had, and when he was home, there was some person said that one of their grandfather or somebody had died, and they have this car, and they don't need it. And it seemed like the Lord impressed us that you needed a car. And he said, "Yeah, I do." And so they gave him the car. It was almost a brand new car. Well, this other guy in this, he's an older man, in the class heard that, and he said, "Well, bless God, if he did that, I can do that and get a new car." And he did. I saw him 3 years later, and he is still walking. I'm serious. See, you can't just do something because somebody else did it and say, "Well, God will do the same thing for me." No, God told him to do that, and God blessed him because he did what he was told to do. That's the way sowing and reaping it. God tells us what we're to do. That's why we sow, and then we will reap because we do what God said to do. How many understand what I'm talking to you about? Anybody get anything out of this? You know, You got to go and you got to take authority over the devil, over your finances. Stay alert. Watch out for the gate rebel who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Stand firm against it. Be strong in faith. My dad taught me this, and I do it all the time. Anytime I pray over finances, like just right there, I was praying over the offering here, and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for finances coming in to Rhema Church to meet all of our needs. And I thank you that the ministering spirits are going out and causing finances to come to the people that are sowing their seed tonight." I learned that from him. Faith by saying it for finances. It's right back. It's a CD right back there in the bookstore. If you want to get it, it's one of the best things I've ever heard anybody teach on financing. You know, we here tonight need to read the scriptures and realize that God wants to help us, but we have got to do what's necessary in the natural. I had an individual talk about, "Well, I'm believing God to help me. I'm believing God. I need finances. I'm believing God." And I heard him talking to, I overheard him talking to a friend saying, "Oh yeah, I used my credit card and went out and bought a new TV. And he just 2 days ago was telling me that he didn't hardly have enough money to buy food. That, and then he's praying, asking God to help him. He's not doing what he needs to do in the natural. What's my saying? The natural and the supernatural working together make an explosive force for God. How can you expect God to bless you when you're not even doing what you need to do in the natural? I realize some of you don't like what I'm saying. That's fine. I don't care. I'm trying to help you. If you listen, you'll get helped. If you don't listen, just go do what you want to do. I don't care. It's your life, not mine. Hello. That's just pastor. That's just the way I am. But I will try to give you some things that will help you in life. I realize we need to preach spiritual sermons sometimes, but sometimes the congregation just needs some practical teaching. I got this from my father-in-law. My father-in-law, he was always talking about this. You know, John 10:10, we quote it all the time. I come that you might not have life and have it more abundantly. You know, well, that's great. That's a great scripture. And that's referring to everything, natural and spiritual. But if you're not doing what's necessary in the natural, and he's trying to bless you in this, on this side and bring you this stuff, it's not working, because this over here is not negating what's coming in over here. You know, I mean, Lynette and I, many times, I mean, back when school first started, we went to the grocery store because I got paid once a month, and we bought groceries, and that's what we ate. We never went to the grocery store except to get milk or bread. And if she got, there was a Wonder Bread factory at the corner of Sheridan and 11th. I don't know, some of you old Tulsa people know that. And you could go in there and buy the day-old bread. And she'd go in there and buy several loaves and just freeze them, and then we'd have bread. But the things I'm telling you about, we did in order to get through some crisis that we faced. There's one time that we took all of our credit cards and we put a rubber band around them and put them in the drawer. And if we couldn't pay cash for it, we didn't buy it. But we got out of debt too. Some people won't get out of debt. Well, if you won't get out of debt, you quit making debt. Hello. You know, we look at some scriptures here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need." That's Psalms 23:1. You know that. I'm reading this from the NLT. James 1:17. "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down coming down to us from God the Father, who created the lights in the heaven. He never changes or casts a shadow." We can expect him to give us good things. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God will generously provide all your needs. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others or to give." Philippians 4:19, "And the same God who takes care of me," Paul's writing, "will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which come from given to us in Christ." These scriptures tell us that God wants to bless us. But let me tell you what. My dad taught me this. Then I learned it with my father-in-law. God can only give you what you are believing him for. And if you are believing him for this and are spending everything you got on this side, you're never going to get out of your financial crisis. Hello. Now, let me tell you another story. I know a young man years ago. He was praying for God to give him his tuition. God supplied it for him. He heard a guy preaching and said, "Now, if you'll give that, God will give you more." He gave his tuition away, and he kept praying, and he didn't have his tuition. If you're praying God, asking God for specific money for a specific thing, and when that comes in, use it for that, because that's what God gave it to you for. Don't say, "Well, if I give it, I'll get more." No, that's giving to get. And that's a whole nother preaching subject, okay? You know, all I've done tonight is just talk to you just out of natural and spiritual things, trying to help people, because we are facing some really crisis As of October the 22nd of this year, each American family was paying out $433 more on an average than they were this time last year. There's one statistic that says the average American family is paying $500 more a month for the essentials that they need to live than they were last year. That's a crisis, because many people, it was taking everything they had just to live at that point. The reason I talked about this tonight, I want you to do what you need to do in the natural, and we're going to believe God with you to bring it either. And see, a lot of people want God to bring it in, just give them the money. Sometimes he brings an opportunity for extra hours on the job. Sometimes he'll bring an extra job to you. I mean, I was praying about how I was going to pay for Craig to be born. I'm driving a 65 Ford that's beat up and won't hardly run half of the time. In fact, my uncle he made automotive parts. He had a company there in Dallas, and I'd take it down there, and they'd fix it for me. Last time I brought it in, Uncle Pat told me, said, "Son, take this car to the junkyard and pay the man $5 to take it." That's how bad it was. It was bad, wasn't it, hon? It was really bad. You know, but we were praying. I was asking God for extra money. I said, "God, I'm doing all I can do." And he brought that $25 a week job along. Well, I had to put them out after, it had to be out after midnight on Friday night. And sometimes it was 3 o'clock before I finished getting all them signs out. And then they had to be in by 5 o'clock on Monday morning. So as soon as church was over on Sunday night, I'm out picking up signs till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Hello. But that's what I needed to do. That's what that's the way God gave me that, to get that. I pray, and then when the school was going, I'm praying God for extra money. And I never got a big offering. You know what I would get? I would get letters asking me to, or phone calls asking me to come and preach. I'd go preach, I'd get an offering, and that's the way God was providing. See, sometimes we need to realize God's not going to always just send you a check in the mail or send money in the mail. He may provide. Somebody may come by asking, "Hey, you know somebody that can do so and so? Well, if you need an extra money for Christmas," yeah, I will. I know. I was talking to one of my grandsons last night, and I was talking to him on the phone, and I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" He said, "I got an opportunity to go. Somebody needs some Christmas lights put up, and it's extra money." So he went out and put some Christmas lights up at somebody's house. Well, okay. I mean, that was a way of. So look for ways. God may provide all kinds of different ways for you to have some extra money for Christmas. Okay? Or to get out of your financial crisis. But you got to stop the outflow until the income gets up. Then you can start buying again. So I don't know whether I've helped or not. Heavenly Father, I've just talked to these people tonight out of my heart, because I was praying and I saw the need and you impressed me with this. I realize I didn't preach a sermon, but I did talk to them about finances and about you. Help us all to follow with our heart and with our head. And may we come out of all of our situations. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer for you, and I want you to agree with me. I'm going to agree with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that's in this congregation tonight. I thank you that you would minister to them in the area of finances. Father, I thank you that as they do what they need to do in the natural, that the supernatural will take over and there'll be opportunities for extra finances. There'll be opportunities that will come their way. Father, help each one of us to continue to do our part in giving to the kingdom of God and know that you will meet our needs if we will do what we need to do and do what you ask us to do by giving. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you agree with me with that prayer? Now you keep saying it. Lord, I'm doing what I need to do. If you're doing it, now I thank you for helping me to bring in extra finances. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? I told you I wasn't going to preach to you. I was just going to talk to you, okay? So maybe it'll help.